World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they should give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm really feeling energized here this morning. Got a lot of things bubbling up inside of me. And I asked myself the same thing. When I walked down the step, the multi-million dollar steps on that new escalator we just put in, I slide down that escalator. I always ask myself, what is it that I'm supposed to talk about? Am I supposed to talk about religious things? Am I supposed to talk about cultural things? What is it I'm supposed to talk about? Well, what is this? What is at the heart of what it is that we do here? And, you know, I still really don't know exactly what that is. And I say over and over, I'm no biblical expert. A lot of stuff about the Bible, I don't know at all. But I'm learning. I'm ever learning. The Bible says you're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can never, ever find the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth, nothing, but never, ever really get to that probably. And I know this, that we're all prisoners of the people that we've hung around. And what we believe, somebody else taught it. There is not one thing you believe that somebody else didn't teach you. You didn't learn it from someplace. Oh, no, that's stupid to say, because there's certainly certain things. Maybe you learn to throw a rock and you can hit a tree or something. I mean, there's certain things. But for the most part, anything that you believe or I believe, somebody else taught me. And how do I know? See, this is one of the problems we run into when we try to explain to people who aren't saved about the veracity of the Bible. How can the Bible be true? The Bible was written by men, they say, right? And they're right. It's just written by a bunch of men. It was written by a bunch of men back when, golly, they didn't even really have pencils and pens, and there certainly weren't any computers or any typewriters, and these things were just written down on paper and they were passed down, and nobody knows it's true. And, you know, I suppose there's some truth there, right? There's some truth there. But the only people who say that are people who have never really, including me, really dug into the Bible and what the Bible really tells us about certain things. And as long as the Bible's been around, they've done everything they can to destroy God. All the God haters have done everything they can in our society to destroy God, the image of God, the belief in God, everything they can. They've hammered it and hammered and hammered it. And they still, you know this, don't you, cannot prove evolution. They can't prove evolution. They can't prove it. Yet they teach it as a theory of evolution, yet true, right? They wink and nod. That's a theory. It's a theory. But the theory doesn't hold up. It doesn't hold up at all. The only thing it holds up is, see, faith is, the Bible says, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things that you don't see. So in order to believe that George Washington went across the Delaware, you have to believe somebody. You weren't there. You didn't see it. You have to believe what somebody else wrote down. You have to believe that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, and he jumped out of the balcony and broke his leg, and then went to down to south of John Wilkes Booth, was sentenced down there to, what's the name of it? It doesn't matter. Yeah, somebody has to have written it down. Folks, there is no history except from one person to another. There's none. There is no history. No history. And I remember Craig Mickle organized that the event to Gettysburg last year. And we went to Gettysburg, and we had these experts come by. There was big. They would take us around to different places at Gettysburg, and these experts would come. And they would explain to us what happened there and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there the whole time, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm saying, dude, that ain't what happened there. That ain't what happened there, because they're woke now, see. They're woke. And so they want to make it all about race and all that kind of stuff. And you do know, folks, that many people in the Civil War, it wasn't a battle over racism, slavery. It wasn't. It was about states' rights. There were a lot of people fighting in the Civil War who didn't think you should have slaves, but didn't think it was the government's right to intervene. You know that, don't you? Tennessee wasn't a slave state. But we don't know all this. So we are all prisoners of the history that we've been taught. Tracking with me, right? I don't care what it is. And whatever religion it is, oh, I got some stuff to show you today. Whatever religion you have, folks, it's just something somebody said and somebody else wrote down and somebody has followed it. Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Catholic, Church of God in Christ, Church of Christ, right on and on and on. 90,000 denominations, all of them teaching what somebody else taught them, right? Come on, can we agree to that? And so here we are in the information age, and the hardest thing for any of us to understand is that a lot of the things that they've told us haven't been true. And in fact, a lot of the things they told us haven't been true. We built upon that foundation of lies. I'm going to drop something on you. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. In my life. And then last night, our local ice cream place, Heyman's, opened last night. So it's always a big deal for our grandkids. So I took all of our grandkids to Heyman's last night, got them all an ice cream cone. And we went to the park and airplane. I was sitting there talking to my two son-in-laws, and they're both really great guys. And I mean, they're just both really, really great guys. And I'm telling them some of the stuff I found that I'm going to talk to you about today. You know what? I know this. They think I'm freaking crazy, right? They think I'm crazy because what the truth I'm presenting to them is so far out that it just goes against every bone in your body. Okay. So if you'll bear with me today, I'm about to drop a bomb on you that you probably, you're probably not going to believe. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Did you know this? Oh my goodness. Did you know that one of the greatest healing agents in the world? Are you looking at me? You sitting down? Betty, put your seatbelt on. One of the greatest healing agents in all of the world is nicotine. What? You mean that stuff they put in the cigarette that addicts us and then we can't get it and then we get cancer? No. That's cigarette tobacco. That's cigarette tobacco. That's not tobacco. That's cigarette tobacco. That's processed and chemicals are added to it and that you end up getting addicted to the chemicals in the cigarette, not in the nicotine. Did you know that nicotine is a healing agent? In fact, let me do this for you real quick. Now I'm not going to take time to watch all this, but this was unbelievable. Yesterday, Mike Adams, by the way, talking to my son-in-laws about Mike Adams, who? I said the health ranger. Had no idea. These are educated Christian good guys, right? Had no idea who the health ranger was. And I'm explaining to them about nicotine, how they've lied to us, and nicotine's a healing agent, yada, yada, yada. So real quickly, pull up number three for me. Yesterday, Mike Adams had on Brian Artis. I don't know if you guys know Brian Artis. He has a show on Brideon. That's not the one I want. I'm glad you brought that up. But I'm going to show this to you for later on. Oh, that is so stupid of me. Okay, go to... if you can, Spencer just told me that two and three are the same. I sent the same one twice. So hang on here a second, Spencer, because folks, I want to put this in the chat. Here it is. Okay, Spencer, I'm going to forward it to you. I'm going to put this in the chat because I would ask all of you, hang on, I'm sorry, distracted here a second. I would ask all of you, take time. Okay, Spencer, it's coming to you. Please take time sometime today and watch this video that Spencer's about to put up there. And I would encourage you, you don't have to watch it. It's an hour long. You don't have to watch it at regular speed because it'll take you an hour to watch it. I play them at 1.5 or 1.75, sometimes even 2. And then if they say something that's interesting to me, then I'll stop it and go back and put it on the regular speed. But Brian Artis, this is unbelievable. Spencer, move it to about the About the three minute mark. We'll just start at about the 3 minute mark. I just want to give you flavor for this. So look, this is so powerful. Spencer, boy, I'm all over the place. Hey, Spencer, do me a favor. Go right now to Amazon.com if you can. Go to Amazon.com. Nicotine is not addictive. It is not addictive, folks. Go to Amazon.com and put in nicotine patches. Nicotine patches. Now, here's what Brian Artis, because you're not going to get time to go through all this thing. Here's what Brian Artis says. He says he recommends, we see where it says that quit smoking with that, the 1995. Here's what he says, and it's, I'm trying to read it. Because you get different strengths of nicotine as well, right? Different patches. And I'm trying to, this is really small. I'm sorry. Anyway, here's what he says. Take a nicotine patch. By the way, he says, right there it is. Go down. He recommends, scroll down there. Rugby. He recommends rugby patches. And here's what you do. 21 milligrams delivered over. He wears them nonstop. And here's what he does. He takes one of these and cuts it into 7 pieces. So you're going to get a nicotine strip. It's going to look like a Band-Aid. And it's got 21 milligrams in it. He says you don't need that. He says you just need about 3 milligrams a day. So he cuts those in 7 pieces, 7 little ones, and he puts it on his arm. He wears it all the time, okay? So put that in the chat so people can see. Hey, follow your own research on this, okay? He and Mike Adams said this is one of the greatest healing agents in all of the world, nicotine, and they have made us believe nicotine is bad for us because they put all those chemicals in there to hook you on cigarette smoking. It's not the cigarette smoke that ruins your lungs. It's not the cigarette smoke that gives you lung cancer. I'm not telling you to smoke cigarettes. No, I'm not telling you to do that. But it's not the nicotine, friends. It's not the nicotine, okay? So go ahead now. Let's come back to Brian Artis, who's he's an awesome dude. I met him when I was at Bard's Fest. He's just a great guy. And he is sticking his nose out there all the time telling the truth. So Dr. Artis is going to explain to you real quickly about nicotine. Go ahead.
Published black box warning side effects. Anybody taking that drug made from Gila Monster Venom, they published within 12 to 36 months of use, will develop every form of thyroid cancer.
Oh my God.
Okay, he's talking about additives that they're putting in our medications, right? So if you read the black box, that they're giving us cancers on purpose because it's good for business, folks. Keep going.
That's the black box warning of Ozempic and Wegovy and all GLP-1 drugs, which are all made from Gila Monster Venom.
Okay, wait. Wait a second. Let's actually back up a second, because I need you to review some of the side effects, because I don't cover this drug that much. I mean, we've done a few articles on it, but...
Okay, scroll ahead a little bit.
Make people's faces...
Anyway, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time watching this. If you really want to know what's going on, I will put this in the chat. What causes the addiction is the ingredients that they put into the tobacco. And they put those ingredients into tobacco because they want to hook you on cigarettes. They want you to be a lifelong smoker. And what's killing you is not the nicotine. Nicotine is, hey, Dr. Paul, would you agree with this? Would you come in and amen and say, yes, nicotine is one of the greatest healers in all of medicine. And they have bastardized it by putting other stuff in the nicotine that kills us and hooks us on nicotine. Would you agree with that, Paul?
Absolutely. It's the pyrazine that they put in there as an addictive substance.
So nicotine, folks, is not deadly, and it is not addictive. Now, I'm not going to, because this just didn't go very well. Put this in the chat if you're interested in it. I'm telling you, watch this whole thing. Because how long have they been telling us about cigarettes and, oh, my goodness, and how addictive it is? And, yeah, it isn't. And Dr. Artis, well, if you watch the video, he will give you example after example after example of people who he personally knows that he put on the nicotine patches, and they had cancers disappear. They had things that you've been dealing with your whole life, rheumatism and all that stuff, disappears when you start wearing these nicotine patches, okay? Now, look, I'm not a doctor. I didn't marry one. I don't want to marry one. This is some great wisdom. Put that in the chat so people can watch it, okay? Your whole life, we've been told about nicotine, and it's all a lie. Now, Ben, I want you to do this. Number one, pull up number one, Dr. Peter McCauley. You guys, you know, Dr. Coach, what's the theme of today's show? The theme of today's show is there isn't hardly anything that you can believe, including some of the beliefs that you have from your Christian faith. Because why do you believe what you believe? Because somebody told you, the same church that you've been going to. As a little kid, you went to the same church for 18 years, and then you went away to college, and then you go to church, and you came back and went to church again, and you've been going to the same church for another 18 years. So in your whole life, you've been hearing from two different perspectives. And I'm not saying the Bible is not true. I'm saying they're selectively pulling out. I'm going to show you that here in a minute, okay? Hang in there with me. Go ahead and pull up Dr. Peter McCauley talking about the lies of COVID. Now, hang on. How are we ever going to get justice when this truth is now coming out of all these lies that they told us? All of these lies. All of these COVID lies. And now we have medical research showing they lied to us. How do we get any redress of grievances? Is anybody in Washington, D.C. going to do anything about it? Is your local, who do you go to? Said, look, they killed my brother. They killed my wife. They killed my neighbor. They killed. Who do we go to? And one of the things that's happening is the New World Order is being so exposed that they're getting radically, radically more dangerous. They understand if they don't make it happen and make it happen soon, look out. I don't know if you saw this. Gold's gone to the moon. Last couple of days, gold's gone to the moon. Why is gold gone to the moon? Because, Google it, Bill Gates and all these folks, they're selling stock. They're selling stock that they have owned forever. And what are they doing with it? Well, they'd be buying gold. What do they know that you and I don't know, right? Okay, so here's Clayton Morris, and he's going on, God bless Peter McCauley. Put him on about 1.5 speed. Folks, I got so much stuff to give you today. I don't know if I can get it all in there. Put it at 1.5 speed and listen to what Peter McCauley says about what they know about the vaccines. Go.
A massive study of 99 million COVID vaccinated people has just wrapped up, and the results are pretty startling, at least to my eyes. I'm no cardiologist, though. Here is how the mainstream media is covering this study. Here's the Washington Times headline. Study of 99 million COVID vaccinated people finds links to brain and heart problems. And then here's Forbes magazine. Here's their headline. COVID vaccines linked to small increase in heart and brain disorders, study finds, but risk from infection is far higher. So you got to really worry about the COVID. Make sure the COVID is top of your mind. Cardiologist Dr. Peter McCauley knows a thing or two about the heart. So let's let him weigh in on this study. Doctor, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So your initial response upon seeing this 99 million patient results?
You know, I'm trained as an epidemiologist, so I'm very skilled at looking at risks. And just to give people some guideposts, any relative risk or hazard ratio or odds ratio, these are measures of association. Anything more than 1.2 on safety is concerning. Most of the risks described here are in the 2- to 3-fold increased risk range. These are astronomical, thinking that the data were truncated just at 42 days. So anything more than 42 days wasn't counted. That there's underreporting. People who come in with these problems are not recognized due to the vaccine, so they're simply not reported. So there's underreporting. And lastly,
now remember, I told you yesterday that people are going to begin getting sick, and they're going to go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to diagnose it as something when the cause of it was the vaccine they took 3 years ago. But what they're going to be able to do is disassociate those two, disconnect those things. Oh, I'm sorry, man, you've just developed heart disease. Maybe it's what you've been eating. I'm sorry. When in fact, it's an impact from the vaccine. Go ahead.
They weren't age stratified. So the myocarditis is the big ticket issue. So myocarditis really peaks in men ages 18 to 24. So if the overall risk for myocarditis was in the 2 to 3 or over 3 range, it must be astronomical for young men ages 18 to 24 taking the vaccine. So I wouldn't consider these small. I think the editorialists and the authors tried to minimize this. This study indicates and confirms what we've seen all over the world.
This is an unbelievable. I mean, would you say this size, 99 million, is a pretty good study sample size here?
It's large. Don't forget, they estimate now that the world has, in a sense, been double vaccinated, over 13 billion doses given, roughly 7 to 8 billion in the world. Not everybody took them. So about two-thirds took them, multiple doses, a third didn't. But the countries that participated in this study were ones that were largely heavily vaccinated countries that had socialized systems. So they had pretty good data systems, including the UK, Finland, other countries. The United States was not in this one.
It's remarkable. You also, of course, published a recent study along with Nathaniel Mead, who's been a guest here on our show. And can you talk about that? What does your data show there compared to what we're seeing in these results?
The data are cohesive. We reviewed the clinical trials program of Pfizer when we include all the deaths and adverse events, serious adverse events, from the intent to randomize all the way through the briefing booklet, counting the data even from the data cutoff to the FDA presentation. There was a 3.7-fold increased risk of serious cardiac adverse events with Pfizer. That's compared to placebo, so that's the cleanest comparison we have. Sure enough, look at the...
Folks, you understand a 3.7 increase means 300%. Instead of it being 100, it's 3,000. I think I did that right, didn't I? Instead of having 100 adverse effects, which they expect, they have 3,000, a 300% increase. You with me? You say, Coach, your math is bad. Whatever it is. Okay, get Dr. Peter off there. Put that over because I got to move on too, okay? Look, I'm trying to bring you the experts. Spencer, go back here. You flashed on that thing of Dr. Artis. Folks, I'm putting this in the chat. This is Dr. Artis' show, the other N-word, talking about nicotine. I'm going to put it in the chat. It's 353 slides. And you're going to see the lie that we have been told about nicotine. It's unbelievable. I don't have time to go through it all here, right? Dr. Artis has put this together, and he's made it available to the public to understand exactly what's going on. And by the way, yes, they do use snake venom in much of our drugs because it's so addictive. Okay, let's take that off. Boy, I'm sorry. I'm swimming in 17 different directions. I'm going to stop right now and let somebody come in if they want to, because I'm going to go a different direction here in just a second. Okay. Paul, come on in.
The other side of that coin is they're bastardizing vitamin D, bastardizing omega oils, and everything else that we know are good. So at the same time that they're lying, the truth is coming out, we're all getting confused, because it is very confusing, Coach.
It is.
I know what works because I've been doing this for 40 years. But it's easy to fool a lot of old folk who just get on there and they read an article. So,
well, Paul, we know this. If you're not watching a show like this, or if you're not doing research like many of us are doing, the media isn't covering this, folks. The media is not covering any of this stuff. So your friends that you're talking to and you're trying to convince them, I'm thinking of poor old George after trying to fire hose everybody. The average person you're coming in contact is not. They're not getting this information, friends. They're not getting this information. It's undeniable now, that the COVID shots have killed millions of people. Undeniable now. The evidence is there. Will you find that on the mainstream media? Nope. I told my son, who's working to become an attorney, boy, I'd get out in front of this one. I'd make me a you listening, Weaver? I'd make myself multi-million dollars representing people who were killed by the government. Go ahead, Raj. You're right up with him, Bob Evans.
Here's a quick question. Let's assume the kill shot is in place. Let's assume there's going to be a large death toll coming. Does that not large death toll collapse the culture, collapse the economy? You start removing 5, 6, 7 million people from the workforce. You no longer have bus drivers. You no longer have plumbers. You no longer have doctors. I don't understand, because I understand them wanting to depopulate so there's not as many people. But with the depopulation's going to come a collapse of the culture, is it not?
Well, that's what they want. That's what they want, because everything collapses and the government comes in and saves everybody. And you have to be part of this and part of this and part of this and use this currency and use this. That's all part of the plan. You're absolutely over the target. That's what's going on. See, but do we get it? Do we understand? Do you understand that people are going to be dying around you who were dying because they took a shot 3 years ago? Do you understand that? That's what's going on. I didn't mean to cut you off, Roz. Did you finish?
No. It just, and Dave, I agree. But when you lose those large numbers, not only do you collapse the culture, but doesn't chaos come in?
That's what they want.
Raining in the streets.
Novus Ordo Seclorum, out of chaos order. That's what they want. Then you're government dependent.
They would get order, I guess, by putting military on the streets.
Well, whatever. No,
martial
law. No, Roger. No, no. Rob, they get order because you have to buy from them. They control everything. They control how much money you can spend. They control the form of the money. They control everything. And they're going to do that because why? They're going to get you safe. They're going to get order restored. That's, see, they have to bring chaos first. By the way, just like in the Bible, chaos. In the beginning, the earth was void, and now the form and darkness was upon the face of the earth. It was all chaos, and the Lord brought order. And now they're doing everything they can to bring chaos again and make it look like the new world order. Oh, my God. Open your eyes and see what's going on. I love this show. Bob Evans, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good crop to start planting. It sounds like a cash crop.
What's that, nicotine?
Yeah, the nicotine, yeah. Tobacco.
Brian Artis says that, man. Plant it. Nicotine, folks, get it out of your head. Tobacco is good for you, not bad for you. It's good for you. Now, maybe not smoking, but ingesting tobacco is good for you. Boy, that goes against everything we've been taught, right?
Yeah, I used to chew tobacco years ago. Maybe I'll start again.
Well, organic tobacco, as Paul put in there, not the stuff that.
Yeah.
Right?
You can grow your own. You can grow your own.
You can grow your own. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, Janine put it in the chat, and I was getting ready to say this. The battle is for the mind, Coach. So
it is.
The culture, if the culture gets your mind, they got you, okay, Christian or non-Christian. But here's the good news, Coach. At the same time, we're looking at a reset. Roger's right on it. There's going to be a great fall in the culture and the economy. Well, isn't that what God wants to do, too, to bring people back to him? Isn't this the plan of God to bring repentance to the earth? Coach, nothing changes. Nobody changes. If we don't see this reset, nobody changes. Everyone continues in their materialism. God is bringing this to a place. The enemy thinks they're getting the reset. But, Lord, I'm telling you, if we can just see what God's doing and what he sees, we got to start looking at this from his standpoint and realize this is a great thing. This judgment thing is great. And you say it all the time, Coach, but we have to get that. We can't just keep looking back. Oh, the enemy's beating us up. What are we going to do? That's not our mindset. We have to see this. God's will is coming forward and we're part of it. We're winning, Coach. Amen. We got to keep looking at it from that standpoint.
Amen. Amen. So listen, connect this dot for you, too. You say, Coach, well, those nicotine patches, they put those nicotine patches out there to help people get off smoking cigarettes. No, no. It was all a ruse because the nicotine patch you're not addicted to nicotine. You're addicted to what they put in the tobacco. Do you understand? Huh? They put all this other stuff in the tobacco.
Amen.
And then tells you it's nicotine when nicotine heals you. Watch, watch Brian Artis. Don't watch me. Don't pay attention to me. I'm just a helmet head from Licking County. I don't know nothing, right? But I'm telling you, it's another great lie. Jock, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to reflect really quick on what Roger and Randy were talking about with the breakdown. If any of you have been in the military, it's the same picture. They get recruits in from all over the country, all over the world. They get them into basic training. They break you down all the way. And then those at the helm, they build you back up the way they want to form you. And that's what's going on.
Hey, listen, Spencer, in the chat, thank you. Whoever just put that in the chat. It was Berean. Look in the chat, Spencer. Click on that for everybody, if you would. Throw that up on the screen. Dr. Brian Artis, nicotine can cure brain tumors. Huh? They've been telling you, see, you understand? Oh, my goodness. Do we understand?
Boom.
Do you understand? They took the tobacco industry, took tobacco, put stuff in there that would make you sick. So they could hook you on cigarettes, and then the medical system loved it too because they got rich off of all of it. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Thank you for that, Berean, for filling that thing up there for us. Dan Woodcock, come on in, Dan. I'm tingling. There's so much truth running through me right now. I'm tingling. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I heard about what Artis said about the snake venoms a couple of years back, and I kind of dismissed it because it seemed pretty far out there. But I thought I'd give it a try, and lo and behold, it worked like a charm. It restored my smell that was lost for about 2 years. It had returned partially. I lost taste and smell a little over 2 years ago. My taste returned, smell returned for some stuff, but other stuff it didn't return, and some other stuff it was distorted. Like what should smell good smelled like putrid to me. But anyway, totally fixed. I did the nicotine patches for
folks,
1 week.
Are you listening to this, folks? Are you listening to this? Nicotine is a healing agent. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say one thing, though. It made my sleep fantastic, which is counterintuitive because it's a stimulant, nicotine. But I slept so deep, more deeper than I've slept for so many years. Fantastic sleep. Also, that's a side effect benefit. But yeah, it cured me. Nothing else worked. This worked like a charm, like you said. However, I wanted to warn everybody, I started with the gum at first, and the gum made me nauseous. Like,
by the way, let me stop you, Dan. That's what Brian Artis said as well. He said the gum, a lot of people like the gum, but some people cannot handle it. It makes them sick at their stomach. That's why he suggested the patches. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, and if he's right, what was happening with the gum is you get too much of a rush of the nicotine too quick, and the venoms then are getting booted out by the nicotine from the cell receptors, and it's flooding your system. It's making you feel like you have food poisoning.
Is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable, folks? Dan and I did not plan this, by the way. We didn't plan it. Go back to Amazon again, because folks, write this down. Spencer, if you could pull that Amazon thing back up. This is what Brian, I took notes yesterday. I listened to it twice. I took notes. Brian Artis recommends Rugby Clear Nicotine. Rugby Clear Nicotine. Now look at this, folks. It's 21 milligrams. He says you do not need that much. In fact, that is too much. Take one of those little patches and cut it in 7 pieces. That'll make it 3 milligrams and put it on your arm, put it on your back, put it on your stomach. He said that the miraculous things that will go on inside your body is going to be staggering to you. So again, don't go out, because this will get expensive. What is it? $29 to get, I don't know how many patches, 14 patches, $29 for 14 patches. He said, no. Cut those 14 patches into 7 pieces and you got 100 patches, okay? Over the counter. Yeah, Raj, you can get it over the counter. This is Amazon. And how about that testimony from Dan saying, I did this. Now I can sleep. What? Think about how they've lied to us all this time about cigarette smoking and nicotine. And it wasn't nicotine. It wasn't the nicotine. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, my grandma, born in 1907, she would take, my grandpa rolled his own pipe cigarettes. He never bought a cigarette ever, never died of lung cancer at 90 years old. Okay, but she would take that and take his cigarette and blow that smoke in the kids' ears. Now, I know that sounds dumb, but their ear infections would go away, Coach, and it was because it's probably from the nicotine. But my point is natural healing is out there. They've demonized it all, but here's the problem. The church is going to see this and go, I'm too good to get around tobacco. I'm too good to drink some form of little
alcohol. I felt that way, Randy. I did too, Coach.
So I wanted to say this was because it's the first truth. It's that we have to be willing to be untaught from some of these stupid religious bondage, better, you know, holier than thou things. We got to get out of those or we won't see this truth and we won't receive it, Coach.
Amen, Randy.
It's so good, isn't it? Think about your whole life, how they have told you how bad tobacco is in nicotine. And it's not true. Brian Artis, now you think Brian Artis is crazy. I'll try to get him on. I bet he'd come on with me, I bet. Folks, remember how they made fun of him when he talked about snake venom? Well, he shows you in that PowerPoint. It's in there. That stuff's all in there, friends. They put it in there to addict you. And it's not just nicotine. In fact, TIN, Paul, Anything, any drug that ends in T-I-N, Brian Artis says, is some type of snake venom. T-I-N. Does that ring a bell with you, Paul? Any drug with T-I-N at the end of it.
Yeah, I got to be careful. There's no absolutes, Coach.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But that was okay. Hang on. Okay, can I switch gears now? Now that we're all set up, now that we're all good. Look, I don't want to. I'm tired of the infighting. And Bible says foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do engender strifes. Why are we fighting? Why are Christians fighting with each other? What the heck is going on? Christians fighting with each other over theology. You think that's not of the devil? You think that's not of the devil? So I just did some research yesterday. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to throw you something here. Pull up number six. End time beliefs. Because we hear people talking about the rapture and blah, blah, blah. What are the different end time opinions among denominations? Do you guys know that? Do you guys know basically the four different end time beliefs? Or do you only know the one that you've been taught in your church that you've been there the whole time? Stay right there. Go back up a little bit. Go down, Spencer. Or you just know the one that you've always known. And so you go to a church that always believes the same thing. And that's okay. That's okay. But understand, there's a lot of Christians that don't believe it, that don't agree with you, no matter what your perspective is. So there are three potential views that dominate discussion regarding matters such as Christ's 1,000 year rule. What are the three belief systems regarding the end times? Could somebody write them down? You out there, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, do you know what the three end time beliefs are? Knowing that many millions of people believe each one of them? Believe each one of them? Well, let's scroll down. What are they? Scroll down, Spence. The main issues, keep on going. This is all good. Amillennialism. Amillennialism. What is that? Well, amillennialism holds the present reign of the souls of deceased believers with Christ in heaven. This is the millennium, and this is obviously not a literal 1,000 years. Christians have been living in the millennial kingdom for roughly 2,000 years. This is what amillennials believe. Okay? What do they believe? That we're already in the present reign of souls. Already. It's the millennium. This is obviously not a literal 1,000 years. This is one belief system called amillennialism. Scroll on down. What's the next one? By the way, millions of people believe that. Millions of people. Now, how come we don't know whether that's right or not? Because the Bible's not really clear on some of this stuff. What's postmillennialism? Those who believe in postmillennialism and amillennialism agree that Revelation 20.2 is not a reference to one literal 1,000 years. They agree that as long as Satan's power remains limited, the gospel will be spread worldwide. They both anticipate an explosion of belief immediately before God removes the limits to Satan's power, which marks the beginning of the tribulation, intense global persecution of Christians. Where the two perspectives diverge is on the matter of suffering. So here we have it. Amillennialism and postmillennialism. I'm not going to take you through a lesson. Do it on your own. Do the study on your own. Okay. The third position is, according to this third position of end times, Christ's arrival, premillennialism. I'm sorry. Christ's arrival will not simultaneously herald the end of death and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. Folks, this is the belief of premillennialism. Amillennialism. Postmillennialism and premillennialism, and all types of Christians believe different things, just like nicotine's bad for you. Somebody told them, right? According to the third position, Christ's arrival will not simultaneously herald the end of death and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. Instead, unbelieving men and women will have the opportunity to come to saving faith in Christ for at least 1,000 years subsequent to his return. So premillennials believe that people... Okay, now, I'm not going to argue about it. I want you to know that there are millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians who each believe one of those. They do not all believe the same thing. In fact, they can't all be true. Could be some mixture of them, but they can't all be true. And so depending on where you went to church, what you were trained in, you're either an amillennialist, a premillennialist, or a, I lost the other one, somebody, postmillennialist. All of us. So when we get people in here, we get arguing back and forth about the rapture and the great, the blessed hope and all that kind of stuff. Understand, not everybody agrees with you. Say, Coach, how do you know that? Well, go to number seven. Aren't you glad you watched this show? Huh? Aren't you glad you watched this show? Now, look, folks, do your own research. You don't have to believe me. I'm just quoting searches. Number seven, Spencer. Pastors and the rapture. What do most American pastors believe about the rapture in the end times? Pretty interesting. Good, done by a pretty reputable organization. What's the name of Pew Research, right? 1 in 4 pastors say the rapture is not literal. 1 in 4 say it's not literal. Now, look, I'm not arguing whether it's literal or not, but you better understand not everybody agrees with your biblical position, no matter how strong you think it is. 1 in 4 pastors don't even believe in it. 1 in 5 think the rapture happens after the tribulation. That's 20% think it happens after. Deeply believe it just as much as you believe what you believe. A few believe the rapture already happened, 1%, and it will occur during the tribulation, 4%, before the wrath of God is poured out on the earth, another 4%. Others don't agree with any of these views, 8%, and aren't sure what will happen, 4%. You get it? You get it? Scott McConnell, Vice President of Lifeway Research, told Christian Post that a survey which was conducted among 1,000 senior pastors via telephone interviews in February was the first of its kind. Scroll down a second. The popularity of some end-time movies and books have given the impression that some views have been popular, but we now have a snapshot of what pastors actually believe. So you don't have to believe whatever. Know this. I don't want to step on your toes. There's no proof there's a rapture. Now, hang on. You can dig in there and you can find it. But there's going to be some other guy said, no, I don't believe that. That's not what that's. You get what's going on? Some of these things we just don't know. Scroll on down. Let's see if there's anything else. Put all these things in the chat so you can do your own research, folks. Huh? As pastors and believers look to the future, they are honestly looking for different things. Some are looking toward the rapture. Others are looking toward the current reign of Christ in believers' lives. And others only look at the symbolism from these prophecies. You understand this, folks? You understand? In Christianity, we don't know what we believe. 1 in 4 pastors believing the rapture will not be literal. 43% of evangelicals believe in a pre-trib rapture. What's an evangelical? That's another whole debate. And 12% of respondents believe that the Antichrist will be a physical person. We can't even agree on that in Christianity. Okay? Boom. Okay, put that in the chat. I got another one. What about Christians and the afterlife? Number 8. What are Christians' views on the afterlife? Christians! We don't even know what goes on in the afterlife. Okay, look, say right there in the chart. I'm not going to read down through it. I'm going to put it in there and let you do your own research. All of U.S. adults, all of them, 73% believe in heaven and 62% believe in hell. All U.S. adults. All, right? So we're dealing with 27% of Americans who do not believe in heaven. That's a bunch, isn't it? How about Christians? 90% believe in heaven. Only 79% believe in hell. Not even all Christians believe. They believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Look at the Protestants. Protestants say all about evangelicals. Look at that. Look at those numbers. Mainstream, Hispanic, white, atheists. Look, huh? Men. Only 68% of men believe in heaven. Only 59% of men believe in hell. Did you guys know this? Huh? Look at this fall off. Ages, 18 to 29. Huh? Oh, yeah. Only 63% of those guys believe in heaven, and only half of them believe in hell, as compared to their grandpas, when 79% of us believed in heaven and hell. Look, right? Well, how about this one? Republicans, 85% of Republicans believe in heaven, 75% of Republicans believe in hell, but only 64% of Democrats believe in heaven. Isn't that something? So it's a spiritual war. It's not a political war. It's a spiritual one. Scroll on down. There's some more great stuff on here. The research is out there, right? 1 in 6 Americans don't believe in any afterlife. 1 in 6 don't believe in anything. Only 61% of Americans believe in both heaven and hell. Is that amazing? Huh? Unbelievable. Only a quarter don't believe in any afterlife. Going down. So we wonder why we're, hey, can you say public schools? Can you say public schools? Now, this goes on and talks about people talking to the or going. I don't know the answer to this one. When you go to heaven, whatever that means, are you going to see your mom and dad? Huh? Are you really going to go up there and see your mom and dad? Are you going to see your old girlfriend? Huh? I mean, are we really? Have you thought about it? Well, what does the Bible teach about it? That's all in here. Scroll on down. Go to the next one. Reincarnations, people. Okay, 2/3 of U.S. adults have believed deceased people are reunited with loved ones in heaven. 69%. Oh my, this is unbelievable. 65% believe you're reunited with loved ones who died previously. This is Christians. What about the other 35%? They don't believe you're going to see them? Which is right. How about this one? 48% they think they're reunited with their dog. Yeah. 44%, only 44% think your loved ones can see what's happening on earth. 43% of us think people become angels. Say, Coach, this is so good. We don't get this anywhere else. Look, I didn't get it anywhere else. I just started looking at some of these things that we believe. Why do we believe them? And who's right? Who's right? Every one of these people, every one of the pastor that you're under or have been under, can justify his position. Because I'm going to tell you this, every position can be, what's the word I'm looking for? Verified in the scripture. If you take stuff out of context, you can do it. Huh? Am I going to see my mom and dad again? Well, I don't know. Scroll down. Scroll on down. I got another one after this one. Go ahead, one more. Say, God, Coach, this is worth money, learning this stuff. Yeah, it is. Half of U.S. adults think people in hell are cut off from a relationship with God. So what's hell like? Well, only 53% of people think it's psychological suffering. Only 53% become aware of the suffering they create in the world. Only 51% experience, they believe, only 51% believe that there's real physical suffering. 49% believe they still have a relationship with God. And 44% think they can meet Satan. I mean, I don't know if they can. This is what people think. You talk about a conglomerate. You talk about a mess in Christianity. Here it is in front of us. Oh, my goodness. Okay, get off of that one. Enough of that one. Pull up number 9, then I'll shut up. About 4 in 10 U.S. adults believe humanity is living in the end times. Hey, are you looking at me? Only 40% of people believe it's end times. This is all adults. All adults. Scroll down. Scroll down. U.S. Protestants, there, get to this chart. U.S. Protestants and evangelical and historical black traditions especially likely to believe humanity is living in the end times. All U.S. adults, only 39% of all adults believe we're in the end times. 58% don't. Christians, look, only 47% of Christians think we're living in the end times. It's 50-50. They don't know. How about the Protestants? Well, evangelicals, 63%. Believe we're living in the end times. I wonder if that has anything to do with Left Behind and late great planet Earth. I wonder if it has anything to do with that. Look at mainline Christians. Mainline Christians. 65% of mainline Christians do not believe we're living in the end times. Look at the historically black Christians. They believe we are. 76% of them do. Catholics, nah, only 27%. Atheists, they don't believe. Agnostic, nothing. Republican Party. Look at the Republicans, 52%. I'm sorry, 45% of Republicans believe we're living in the end times. I wonder if that affects the voting. Democrats, only 33% think we're living in the end times. Isn't this fascinating? Look, college graduates, only 27% of them. Why? The smarter you get, the less religious you become. The smarter you get, the less Christian you are. Amazing. Look at blacks. 68% of blacks believe we're living in the end times. Well, only 34% of whites do. Only 33% of Asians do. Wow. All right. Put it all in the chat. Come on in. Charge! What do you think? I wonder what percentage of Americans think nicotine's bad for you. What do you suppose the percentages would be on that? And how did we get that thing? How do we get that idea? And if as my people often say, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Obviously, that's not true. It's obviously not true. Because they find the Bible saying other things than what the Bible actually says. Man, oh man, oh man. Nobody wants to talk to me today? Good. One, Bob Evans, then Denny Bryan. Go, Bob.
Yeah, I got a little story I did in church one day years ago. Kind of smart aleck, but they knew I chewed tobacco. And I kind of quit, and I didn't have it for quite a while. So I was in church one day, and I got me some of that baseball bubble gum.
Yeah.
The pouch looks just like a chewing tobacco pouch.
Right.
And we're standing there in a circle after church one day, right in the church there, and I get my pouch out of my pocket, and I reach in there, and I get it up here where I can't really read that label. And you should have seen the looks I got on.
Oh, you're on your way to hell, Bob. You're on your way to hell, right?
Of that bubble gum, baseball bubble gum patch up, and I showed him. It was just bubble gum.
Well, you're going to go to hell for eating sugar, too, buddy. That's what it is. I'll get you for that.
Over on that.
Amen. Denny Bryan. Hang on. I'm not going to get into this debate. But that's why those who are suspicious in nature wonder about the round earth, flat earth thing. Are they crazy to question it? I don't think they are. Are you crazy to question whether we went to the moon? You think we went to the moon? Anybody have to really think we went to the moon? Are we crazy to question that? Go ahead, Denny.
Just one quick thing. The Bible does say in heaven there will be neither male nor female nor Jew nor Greek. So being perfectly honest, when I hear all these people, and I died, and I promise you, when I died and I was up in the sky, you didn't think of anything or think of anybody on this earth. You're separated immediately. And, I just think we kind of appease ourselves to trying to think your dogs with you and all this stuff. The scriptures don't back any of that up whatsoever.
Well, that's what Mark Trump opened my eyes to what they call first truth, right? And so many of us are stuck and trapped in the first thing we learned as a Christian. We can't shake it loose. What would most of America do if we found out there was no rapture? Would it destroy their faith? Or would it strengthen their faith? I'm not saying there isn't one. I'm just saying, what if all of a sudden that didn't become the blessed hope? What if that wasn't the blessed hope anymore? What if the blessed hope was Christ in you, the hope of glory, and what you did here and now? What was that? It would change everything, wouldn't it? So what you believe matters, because what you believe controls your behavior. Dr. Paul, come in, then Dave Allison. Dave or Sherry?
Just, you heard McCullough just talk about stimulating through adrenaline. That's why you don't exercise when you get myocarditis. Just keep in mind that nicotine has a very low therapeutic index. So, in other words, you put a couple patches on at 21, you won't make it.
Okay. Cut them up in pieces.
Right. Go slow, and just remember, it's a stimulant. So you may want to take it off before you go to bed. That's what I generally recommend. And I think it's worth a try. And you should know, when I was treating COVID, and I had a room full of people, they're all COVID. Nobody wore a mask in my office. FBI and Homeland Security came in to interrogate me. I told them to take their masks off. You're in my office. Sit down, and I'll get to you when I get done with my patients, Coach.
Yes,
and I chew nicotine all day long, Coach. I've been doing it since I was 18 in the military.
There you go.
So that's by God's grace, because I don't know what I'm doing. God just kind of flows me through this mess.
Amen. So, folks, listen. Watch Brian Ard. I'm not giving you medical advice. Watch Brian, watch that interview and then make your own decision on it. But if you do, he is very clear. Don't put that big patch on you because it probably won't make you feel good. Cut it into small pieces. 3% is what he said. That patch is 21. He said, cut it in 7 pieces. 3% is what you need. That was his advice, not mine, if you're going to try it. So don't go out and put a big old patch on and then you get sick. Can't figure out why. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Coach, for everything. Yeah, we used the nicotine as well. Sherry was having problems getting the taste and smell back for a while, and you know, that helped us. And but back to the other topic you touched on is I always get a kick out of people thinking loved ones can look down and see what's going on here. What a conflict that would be. Stop and think about it. It's only when I threw that 85-yard pass touchdown that my dad was down looking and he was proud of me. But yeah. When I was out chasing around the neighbor's wife or whatever,
he wasn't watching.
He wasn't watching. So are they watching or aren't? If they're watching, they're seeing everything. And man, talk about tears in heaven. That would be so sad.
Yeah, I hope my dad's not watching. I don't mind if he's watching now, but boy, if he was watching earlier, oh my goodness, right?
And lastly, Coach, we now know where that phrase comes from. Don't blow smoke up my skirt, right? That was actually back in the day. That's what they did to cure people, right?
That's right. That, amazing, hey, isn't it?
Oh, Sherry's got
something. Hey, Coach. It's me, Sherry. Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks again. Good morning. Thanks again for all you guys do to just tickle my brain and heart. For sure. Hey, I do have to tell you just a really quick little vision I had. Years ago, we had a dog that was very loved, of course, by the whole family. And her name was Tiny. Anyhow, when she died, little delay in burying her, had a blanket over her, went out and sat by her and cried my eyes out. She was, you know, outside by the barn. And anyhow, as I sit there and cry, I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And showed me a vision of her running, leaping through a field of flowers. Now, what that was for, it was maybe just to comfort my heart, but I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying she's in my care. So if we're gonna see our loved ones in animal, canine, horses, whatever, in a form, I don't know. I guess it'll be my surprise when I get there, if I get to see it. But, you know, isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit will comfort us in times of grief, right? Yeah. Really, even with our animals. So, love y'all.
Amen, Sherry. It's like that song goes, I'm not afraid of dying, but it's the thought of being dead. I think there's some truth in that, isn't there? Gene, come on in.
Okay, I think I got it. I just don't want to throw everybody off what y'all been talking about, but I think today's a great, great show again.
Thanks.
But you don't have to believe what I'm going to say right now. But anyway, I believe, and 2 Peter talks about 3 worlds, and I believe it's 3 earth ages he's talking about. And there was an earth age before this one, and we're living in the second earth age now. And we were there in the first age when Genesis 1:1, this is what I believe. You don't have to, you can check it out. That we were all created because in Jeremiah it said the earth was created to be inhabited. It was there. When God spoke it, we were there. We were all there. And then because we know there had to be a time before Adam and Eve, because the God and the devil had already had it out. There was a time before that. And we were all there, and that's how God knew us before we were even conceived. He knew what we were and who we are. And in the second earth age, we are living now because our Bible is teaching us the story of Jesus Christ, why he came and died on the cross. Because if we're going to know our ancestors or whoever we know after we die, I don't know, but I can't remember who I knew in the first earth age.
I can't remember who I knew in the first grade.
Amen.
Okay. So, yes, cool. That's cool. So, Gino, remember this. There is no time outside this realm, right? So that's going to be the most unbelievable thing that we see. When we get in eternity, there ain't no time.
There ain't no clock,
right? It's a creation of this world. So much stuff that we don't understand. So, wow. That's a lot to chew on today, isn't it? It really is. And you know what it does? It builds my faith. It doesn't make my faith weaker. It makes my faith stronger. I look at this stuff and say, wow, that wasn't true, but that's true. That's not true, but that's true. Because why? Jesus warned us. He teaches commandments, the doctrines of men. You do what you've learned it from some other guy. You live your whole life on what some other guy told you. We're all victims of that. We're all victims of those who came before us. Wow. Gave you something to chew on today. See you tomorrow.